Ed of the National Institute for Juvenile Offenders. I will try and respond concretely to the questions that were asked under the heading of juvenile justice. With regard to support and care provided to adolescents who are subject to non-deprivation of liberty measures, I will also seek to respond to the questions about the level of trained and skilled staff working in this sector. To freely admit that this is a challenge for the state of Honduras to make sure that we have the necessary support structure in place for children and adolescents in conflict with the law, particularly when it comes to alternative to custody measures. What we're seeking to pursue is a comprehensive care and support model. We have currently 16 technical teams bringing together social workers, psychologists, doctors, nurses and teachers, all who've received specific and receive ongoing training on juvenile justice. We're also rolling out different restorative justice workshops, and we've also issued some publications addressing non-custodial measures as an alternative to prison, etc., as well as standards that need to be met in centers of deprivation of liberty. We're also taking steps to ensure that social services have the necessary capacity to respond to the needs of adolescents, as do the juvenile offenders facilities. But that's a challenge for the Honduran state. We again freely acknowledge that. We are applying by way of response the previously mentioned model of a cross-skill approach from various different disciplines or cross-disciplinary approach. But it's not just a question of access, although access is key and critical, but it's also about the quality of attention provided, particularly the quality of care and support provided in more remote parts of the country. And it also adopts a preventive approach, or we seek to adopt going forward a preventive approach to provide an alternative for those who are subject to non-custodial measures to make sure they don't fall prey to the attractions of gangs, cross-border gangs, local gangs, etc. It's important to mention that as part of this program of non-custodial measures or alternative measures to custody, that we have services made available to adolescents and services that are tailored to their needs. And to deliver those programs, we've been working with civil society organizations on a cooperative basis and also coordinating at the cross-sectoral level, bringing together the various different relevant ministries, such as those of education and health. We've also been working with the National Vocational Training Center and the institution of municipal leaders to deliver on this program. Now, as has been mentioned earlier, in Honduras, when it comes to the minimum age of criminal responsibility, this is a hot potato, a topic of much debate and discussion. What is the proper age at which one can be held responsible for its actions? Now, we are aware that in Honduras, our minimum age of criminal responsibility is one of the lowest in Honduras, and there is some discussion about reducing it further. But that's not something that we're considering in the current government. We're not willing to further reduce the minimum age of criminal responsibility. With regard to assertions of ill treatment, abuse, and torture in places of deprivation of liberty, we have been working with civil society organizations, including the Society for the Prevention of Torture, and we have been working on our response, particularly highlighting Article 118 of the Criminal Code, which makes it abundantly clear that any potential alleged or suspected crime must be reported to the authorities. In line with recommendations put to us by different institutions, including civil society organizations, we have received some 30 complaints alleging ill treatment, abuse by the authorities, and abuse or violation of rights, including to healthcare, education, to access to their family, to recreational leisure involving adolescents or children that have been followed up on and investigated. A point was made about a sudden rapid increase in 2019 about the number of children and adolescents being held in centers of deprivation of liberty or detention centers. Part of that can be explained by the lack of trained judges, magistrates and lawyers to be able to handle the backlog of cases. In the interim, a great deal has been invested in training of judicial staff, of judges, etc., allowing us to make significant headway in clearing that backlog and making it abundantly clear across the judicial system that detention is a measure of last resort and that alternative measures to custody must be sought first. And that has been one of our major success stories.